today on Annenberg Radio News.
Chisel and a hammer in my bare hands on stone. For me, it's very percussive in nature.
Join us on a journey into the sounds of an ancient art. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. I'm Willie Nolan. The Los Angeles City Council voted 11-2 today to repeal its ban on medical marijuana dispensaries. The decision was intended to avoid a public vote on the issue during the city elections in March. Aaron Schrank reports.
In July, the Los Angeles City Council unanimously voted to ban storefront medical marijuana dispensaries. But after an 11-2 vote today, the ban will not happen. The swift change in votes came when the council recognized that a proposed referendum would likely pass if voters were allowed to decide the issue. Only council members Jose Huizar and Joe Boscaino favored letting voters decide whether to repeal the so-called gentle ban on dispensaries. After the ban was approved in July, opponents collected the required number of signatures to put the law on a city election ballot. Today's vote was not unanimous, so the repeal will be back next week for a simple majority vote of the 15-member city council. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Board of Supervisors voted today to look into creating an Office of Inspector General for county jails. The vote comes after last week's report criticizing Sheriff Lee Baca's oversight of the jails. The new office would oversee internal investigations into violence in the jails. The Citizens Commission on Jail Violence issued 63 recommendations to curb violent treatment of inmates. Sheriff Baca has scheduled a news conference tomorrow to respond to the report. This morning, the National Nurses United went to the L.A. office of Congressman Javier Becerra to seek a pledge of support for the so-called Robin Hood tax. The bill was introduced in Congress last month. It would impose a small tax on financial trades on Wall Street. Supporters say it would raise up to $350 billion in revenue that could be used to undo the damage caused by the financial crisis. Congressman Becerra has not yet taken a position on the bill. Latino immigrant activists criticized Jerry Brown today for his last-minute vetoes of legislation that would have brought changes to California's immigrant community. The contentious vetoes include that of the Trust Act, the Domestic Worker Bill of Rights, and two measures dealing with conditions for farm workers. AFL-CIO Secretary Maria Elena Durazo spoke out against Brown's vetoes at a news conference downtown today.
Governor Brown could have signed four bills that would have freed immigrants and Latinos from pervasive fear, racist discrimination, and direct threats to their very lives. Instead, Jerry Brown let us down.
The governor rejected two assembly bills that would have increased fines for employers who failed to provide farm workers with adequate shade and water. United Farm Workers spokesman Jeev Kashkuli called out the governor for putting immigrant workers in danger.
If you, governor, are going to treat us like less than animals, then we are going to fight back.
The Trust Act was also vetoed late Sunday night. It would have stopped police from holding immigrants accused of minor crimes. Another of Brown's vetoes, the Domestic Worker Bill of Rights, would have provided overtime pay, meal breaks, and labor protections to an estimated 200,000 caregivers, nannies, and house cleaners. A second resident of Los Angeles County has died from the West Nile virus. County health officials say both victims were in their 80s and both lived in the southeastern part of the country. The county. The health department is warning residents to take steps to avoid mosquito bites. People over the age of 50 and people with weak immune systems are most at risk for developing West Nile symptoms. In SoCal weather, the heat continued today with a high of 93, but will cool down to 67 tonight. Tomorrow, though, brings some relief. Highs in the basin are expected to top out at 80 degrees with a low of 63. The cooling trend will continue through Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. later on Annenberg Radio News, we talk to an organizer of the Tea Party Express as it winds up its cross-country bus tour. Party supporters love to share their beliefs wherever they can. To reach pockets of undecided voters, some members have even taken to the road with their cause. I spoke with Tea Party Express Chairwoman Amy Kramer about what her organization is doing to spread the Tea Party message.
The Tea Party Express is an organization that we're known for our bus tours and also election activity, you know, endorsing and supporting candidates. We also did the first ever Tea Party presidential debate with CNN. And right now we're on our eighth national bus tour going across the country. We just got to California yesterday, and we end our tour on Wednesday in Fairfield, and then we do a debate watch party in Napa.
And I see you guys are based in Sacramento. How far across the country have you guys traveled?
Well, this trip, we started in Florida, and at the conclusion of the tour, we walked on 8,122 miles.
What are the sorts of things that you guys have been doing where you've stopped?
Well, we do rallies. I believe we've done rallies. It'll be 41 rallies at the end of the tour. And we, you know, it's about get out the vote. It's winning for America. This is the most important election in our lifetime and the most important election in our nation's history. And so we're talking about why it is so important and what people can do so that we make President Obama one-term president and take back the United States Senate. It's all about getting conservatives to vote.
And why do you say that this is the most important election of our lifetime?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's because President Obama, when he ran for office back in 2008, and even as recently as at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte, he has said he fundamentally wants to change America. He wants to change his country. He believes in redistribution of wealth, which it leads to socialism and eventually Marxism and communism. And that's not what we want. We live in the greatest nation on earth that is, you know, based on free enterprise, free market principles and values. We're a capitalist society. That's why we are the land of opportunity. And we want to remain this great nation and the shining city on the hill, like President Reagan talked about.
With the presidential debates coming up on Wednesday, what is it that your organization is trying to do at this stage?
Well, we're out there educating people. It's all about, educating, because when you educate people on the issues, it empowers them so that they're educated voters. They go to the polls and they don't vote according to name recognition or according to the letter next to somebody's name. They vote based on the issues. That's what the Tea Party movement's always been about.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about the Tea Party Express's goals and mission?
No, I just, what I'd like to say is the media has written this narrative that we're dead time and time again. They've actually written our obituary. It just hasn't been printed. I've been saying for a long time, don't judge us by the number of people that show up at our rallies or turn out at our events. Judge us by what happens on Election Day. We saw it in 2010 with, sweeping victories across the country. As we've crossed the country the past 3 weeks, a third to a half of the people coming out at each one of our rallies are brand new to the movement and just getting involved. And so that's encouraging. It says that people are fed up with what's going on in Washington, D.C., and they want real change, not the kind of hope and change that President Obama promised in 2008.
That was Amy Kramer, chairwoman of the Tea Party Express. The group is ending its cross-country bus rally with a debate viewing party in Napa tomorrow. Technology has changed art over the years, for better and for worse, but some things never change. Today, we meet one artist who prefers a medium that is older than art itself. That medium is stone. Aaron Schrenk brings us the story of a sculptor who preserves the prehistoric art form by teaching it to others.
I find that the directness of it, the directness of the... I'm Rudy Calderon. I'm a sculptor focusing primarily with the medium of stone sculpture. And I also teach with introduction to sculpture and stone sculpture. You know, in here, this could probably even flare like that.
Right. So I have to chisel this side.
Yeah. I find that the directness of it, the directness of the chisel and the hammer and my bare hands on the stone, for me, it's very percussive in nature. So it's musical and rhythmic at the same time. In essence, I'm literally dancing with the stone as I'm playing my rhythms on it with my tools. I started out as a painter, but I always had that deep desire to carve stone. I was always just drawn to it for whatever reason, you know, since I was a child. Finally, when I did carve stone for the first time, which was in one of my introduction to sculpture classes, something really interesting happened. When I went to sleep, I realized that I heard the sound of the chisel against the stone and the hammer against the chisel and the stone. I heard that noise all night long, you know, that ding, 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 all in my sleep, I heard it. It's a process and it's a technique and a medium that is being used less and less. So passing that on, the fact that it requires a craftsmanship, to me that's really important.
Yeah, just keep working it and just be careful not to put too much at a time on the line area.
Stone being so ancient carries with it this certain almost inherent symbolism, its heaviness, its presence. Stone has more of a presence than just about any material I can think of. It's just there. It's heavy. It's almost eternal. It goes back in time.
That was stone sculptor Rudy Calderon. President Obama and Mitt Romney spent the day practicing for their first debate to be held tomorrow night in Colorado. The race is still hot, and both candidates hope to appeal to undecided voters. You can count many Asian Americans among those undecided. Nearly 18 million U.S. residents identify as Asian American, making them one of the fastest-growing segments of the population. A study released today finds that the opinions of Asian Americans on issues such as unemployment and health care reflect those of the general public. But as Kat Boza reports, there's only one issue that significantly affects their views on the economy: paying for college.
Regardless of ethnicity, paying for college is no easy task for most Americans. But today's findings published by the National Asian American Survey show that, for Asian Americans, the cost of higher education poses a significant burden. Karthik Ramakrishnan, a political science professor at the University of California, Riverside, co-authored the report.
Two out of the top three issues were the cost of college and the cost of making college loan payments or college debt.
Nationally, nearly one in five Asian Americans reported experiencing economic hardship related to college costs. In California, that statistic was considerably higher.
In terms of their personal economic situation, we find that the cost of college is a greater burden among Asian Americans in California. 38% of Asian Americans say that college debt is a significant problem for themselves and their family.
Widespread worries about the economy continue to affect voters' opinions of President Obama. Yet Asian Americans' historical voting patterns may very well be the key to a Democratic victory in November.
One of the stories that has not been much appreciated is how much the Asian American vote has shifted over the past two decades. So they go from voting about 31% for Bill Clinton in 1992 to nearly two-thirds, 62% for Obama in 2008.
This kind of dramatic shift in minority voting patterns has been documented only once before. At the beginning of the 20th century, a large portion of Jewish immigrants supported Republican candidates. But by the 1940s, Jewish voters leaned primarily Democratic. Despite this trend, no candidate holds particular sway within the Asian community. 43% of Asian Americans plan on voting for Obama in the upcoming election, while 24% support Republican nominee Mitt Romney. But the rest of the study's respondents, a whopping 32%, remain undecided. It's a race that, for this group of the American public, is still up for grabs. Kat Boza, Annenberg Radio News.
Police arrested two animal rights protesters for blocking the entrance of a meatpacking plant in Vernon. The protest at Hormel's Farmer John plant was one of many demonstrations around the world to mark the birthday of Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi. The group opposes the slaughter of animals for food. Okay. I am now joined in the studio with Juliana Ruiz to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Juliana, what do you have for us?
Tonight on ATVN, we have the latest on the repeal of the marijuana dispensary ban and what it means for the local pot shops. We also have the election debate tonight. At the height of the upcoming election, President Obama and Republican candidate Mitt Romney will face off in their first debate tomorrow night in Denver, Colorado. We've got more on the campus screenings of the first presidential debate. Animal activists are protesting in support of World Farm Animals Day, calling Farmer John's meatpacking plant a holocaust for animals in South LA. Find out more tonight on ATVN.
I was over in the ATVN office just before we went live, and it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on. I assume that's for preparation of the presidential debate tomorrow.
It is. We're actually going out all around campus and throughout Los Angeles just getting more of people's opinions on the debate.
And what have you guys been noticing so far?
Well, we have a lot of mixed reviews, people on both sides, of course, and you'll have to tune in to ATVN to find out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for swinging by. I know it's across the hall, but it's always great to have you guys in our studio as well.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Evan Budrovich and Taylor Dannelly. Melissa Runnels is our producer, and executive producer is the one and only Aaron Trank. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I am Willie Nolan.